I think it's been a very strong first week. I think we've seen a week in which the president has shown leadership, decisiveness. He's energized as a result of it, and it's a strong week.
New White House spokesman Ari Fleischer will be hearing his voice lots more, speaking Friday about a very busy week for the new administration. Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Scott.
And what's your overall assessment of President Bush's first week in office?
Oh, I think by any reasonable standard, you have to say this was a very successful week for him. He did kick off the week by marking the anniversary of Roe versus Wade by reinstating the Reagan ban on money to international family planning groups that even counsel on abortion. He had meetings, however, with legislators. He's talked to Democratic elder statesmen like Bob Strauss and ex-Senator Paul Simon. Now he's getting ready to roll out his next big initiative next week, subsidies to religious schools for social services like drug rehabilitation. It's a sort of a revival, I guess, of his father's 1,000 points of light. But I must say that Bush's greatest success this week was not what he did, it's what Alan Greenspan did.
Yeah, well, an interesting turnabout by the Federal Reserve Chairman. He told the Senate Budget Committee that he thinks tax cut might be a good idea now.
Yes, it was in fact a complete turnabout on the need for a tax cut. How big, whether the Bush figure of $1.6 trillion is it or something less, he would not say. He said that's political. This was the same Greenspan who just a few weeks ago was saying that you should better have debt reduction than tax reduction, among other reasons, because tax reduction doesn't register itself fast enough to do much about recessions. Now, although economists say that growth is about flat, Greenspan says the projected surplus is going to be so much bigger than anybody expected that you can and that you should cut taxes along with cutting debt.
Mm-hmm.
I have to understand, by the way, that I don't want to say this is politically motivated, but you have to understand that Greenspan is a Republican and a conservative, and probably on most broad issues like this would see very much the way that this administration sees it.
Right. I would agree with that. The first legislative initiative from the White House apparently is going to be education reform. And what kind of reception do you think it's going to get in Congress?
Well, not bad. This was Education Week, as he called it. And he wants $5 billion for schools, increasing the federal role with the schools. But in return, he wants a big push to improve reading skills. He wants to have annual testing, accountability. And then for those pupils who are in failing schools, vouchers. They don't call them vouchers, but vouchers to be able to go to private schools. Well, I'll tell you, Senator Joe Lieberman and some 15 others are introducing their own bill, which is, except for the voucher business, looks very much as though it could be reconciled with the administration's bill. Mm-hmm. And the White House is now hinting that vouchers may not be a deal breaker. So there is a sense of momentum there.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask, though, about a decision that President Bush made this week, which wouldn't seem to be aimed towards bridging divides, and that's banning funds to international family planning groups.
Yes.
This is going to be this really picks a fight with a lot of people on the Hill, doesn't it?
Well, yes. And on top of that, he yesterday indicated that he's going to oppose the use of federal money for fetal tissue research, which was connected with that whole attitude on the question of abortion. Well, I think that President Bush is clearly trying to maintain a judicious balance between the ideological and the managerial. Well, that's to say, making enough concessions to the extreme right to be able to get elbow room for governing the country. And that's how you got, you know, faith-based schools initiative, abortion restrictions, and that's how you get the nomination of John Ashcroft for Attorney General, which is being held up at least until February.
Well, and there was a new note introduced this week because there were allegations that his opposition to someone nominated for a post of ambassador was motivated by bigotry towards gays.
Yes, interesting. John Ashcroft, having at first testified that he did not veto James Hormel for ambassador to Luxembourg because he is gay, mm-hmm. now says that he believed that a gay should not represent the United States in what he calls Europe's most Catholic country, Luxembourg. Seems to be a certain contradiction if he said they had never discussed it, but now he says that he had reason to do it. Then there is Professor Paul Offner, who says that Ashcroft asked him at the beginning of a job interview whether he was gay, which he's not, mm-hmm. but he was single at the time, and now Ashcroft denies that. Well, I'll tell you, the consideration of Ashcroft has now put off until, I think, February. Will he make confirmation? Scott, I don't know who writes conventional wisdom, but whoever's in charge of conventional wisdom says that unless something more happens, he will get confirmed.
Let me ask about power in California. I hope they can listen to us this morning. How do you think this is going to get resolved?
Well, I think President Bush is now learning that no matter how federalist he may be, no matter how much he believes in states' rights and state responsibilities, when a state the size of California, with the economy of California, has a cold, then the federal government sneezes and has to do something about it. The help that the feds are now giving is sort of a tide over while the governor wrestles with undoing some of the unpremeditated effects of deregulation, which had the effect of capping prices for consumers, mm-hmm. but not capping prices for producers. I will not try to induct us at this point into the intricacies of all of that. But yes, a lesson. There are lessons here to be learned for everybody, whether learning lessons will be enough to get California back on track, heaven knows.
Kind of furor created this week over the way President Clinton left office, not just the plea bargaining, but pardoning number of rich people with good political connections, this truckload of gifts that the Clintons accepted. What kind
of little stuff taken out of Air Force One, right. in addition to all of that?
Yeah. Well, what sort of the Clintons are two public figures yet. One of them is, of course, in the Senate. President Clinton is in many ways still the titular leader of the Democratic Party. Does this undercut the impression that they might want to strike in public life?
You mean this is all going to be good for his legacy? I suspect.
Well, I guess so. Or even the political effect that he would have now.
Well, tell you, leaving with some $200,000 in gifts, a lot of stuff from Air Force One. Mary McGrory calls that, and I like to borrow it, terminal tackiness, mm-hmm. what you call that. But I'll tell you, worse than terminal tackiness was his business of the pardons. Mm-hmm. Bypassing the Justice Department, giving a pardon to a fugitive charged with the biggest tax fraud in American history, but whose wife has a lot of money, and has given $1 million or more for political purposes close to the
ex-wife, we should know. Yes. Though they're still friends.
Right, but I think during some of the time when some of the money was given,
she married,
would.
Yes.
But you're quite right, mm-hmm. ex-wife. Only a very suspicious mind would connect all that political money, $1 million or so, with the idea of giving this kind of mercy to this rich guy who lives up to his name, Rich. He's a multimillionaire, mm-hmm. has given up his citizenship, has never faced the court. The point is, the pardons are usually given when somebody indicted or something's happened. You say, okay, this guy has never faced any kind of justice. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the other thing to go with that is clemency for four Hasidic Jews in Rockland County, New York, who supported Hillary Clinton and who ripped off the government for $1 million in aid some time ago for a non-existent yeshiva.
We want to end on this note this week. Firstly, last week I incorrectly characterized the circumstances that led Bob Livingston to resign from the House of Representatives. I was wrong. I apologize.
Well, all right. I want to apologize, too. In discussing Jesse Jackson last week, who fathered a child out of wedlock, I commented on the way that Rainbow Push had stood by him. I suggested not every faith-based organization would do that. I referred to organizations that were white. I didn't intend to. I expressed myself very badly. I want to express now my regret.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dan Shore.